we've been experiencing similar themes during this Advent season. It's been about preparation and hope and restoration and even unlikely allies in a couple weeks. The lion shall lie down with the lamb, remember that. We've come to experience the unexpected, unfathomed reversal of what is and what can be. And today we're continuing with thoughts like that, like with the refreshment of a parched land and parched souls, and strength for those in fear or those who are weak, hearing and seeing to those who cannot, the absence of danger, joy and gladness, God's vengeance on the enemy, and a journey with God where nobody unclean is allowed. And those last two kind of stand out. Let me repeat them. God's vengeance on the enemy. Makes me want to hit the pulpit, right? God's vengeance on the enemy. And a journey with God with nobody unclean allowed. There we go, right in the middle of this Bible reading filled with hope, more hope, strength, refreshment, and healing. There's some fear-filled, and what I experience is at least mean words. First part, here is your God. He will come with vengeance, with terrible recompense. And this isn't the only place in the Bible where God comes with anger and judgment. In Deuteronomy 32, for I lift up my hand to heaven and swear, as I live forever, when I whet my flashing sword and my hand takes hold on judgment, I will take vengeance on my adversaries and will repay those who hate me. I will make my arrows drunk with blood, and my sword shall devour flesh, and the blood of the slain and the captives from the long-haired enemy. In Numbers 32, the Lord's anger was kindled on that day, and he swore, saying, surely none of the people who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land that I swore to give to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, because they have not unreservedly followed me. Joshua 7, but the Israelites broke faith in regard to the devoted things. Achan, son of Carmi, son of Zabdi, son of Zerah, and the tribe of Judah took some of the devoted things, and the anger of the Lord burned against the Israelites. And then in Jeremiah 15, I will make you serve your enemies in a land that you do not know, for in my anger a fire is kindled that shall burn forever. None of those verses in the Bible about God's anger and judgment are particularly comforting to me. But I have to try to understand them from the perspective of someone who has been thrown from their home or their land. Not all of them have that context, but most times they do. I have to try to understand it from the perspective of someone who's been exploited, abused, injured. It doesn't make me feel comforted, but I can understand the desire for someone to want not only relief from their situation, but also punishment for the ones who have been the source of the theft, of the abuse, of the persecution. It's also possible to understand God coming with a vengeance and terrible recompense from a perspective that God is coming to set things right, to bring healing and restoration to all who are in a crisis. So maybe this time it isn't anger and judgment. But let's remember, God's anger and judgment are present in the Bible. Can't get around it. It's there. And it's not really all that comforting. At least not to me. But then there's another verse that even bothers me more. The unclean shall not travel on it. Really bothers me. Why, with all this talk about good news for a people looking forward to restoration, is there talk of someone being left out, rejected from all the good stuff? I wonder, are the unclean the persecutors? Maybe, but it doesn't really seem to fit in this verse there. Are the unclean those who have not gone through the ritualistic cleansing of the time? Ritualistically clean, meaning they had said all of the right things, they had burned the right sacrifices, they had done the things that would keep them free from sin and be able to be in the community. And maybe that's true, but why would a people who are living in exile be really worried about someone who's gone through the right ritual? Scripture. Maybe the statement, the unclean shall not travel on it. Maybe it's rescinded with the statement right after it, no traveler, not even fools, shall go astray. Meaning that no one is on it that is unclean. Just like once you get on it, you're clean. You can't go astray. But this is not the only verse in the Bible that mentions unclean. Wouldn't you know it? Numbers 5. Command the Israelites to put out of the camp anyone who is leprous or has a discharge or everyone who is unclean through contact with a corpse. You shall put out both male and female, putting them outside the camp. They must not defile their camp where I dwell among them. Numbers 19. Any who are unclean but do not purify themselves, those persons shall be cut off from the assembly, for they have defiled the sanctuary of the Lord. Since the water for cleansing has not been dashed upon them, they are unclean. There's a whole lot of unclean stuff in the Old Testament, especially in Leviticus. But when we look at this passage in Isaiah, during Advent, we're supposed to be reminded of Jesus. We're supposed to think of the celebration of the Christ child and the refreshment, the reconciliation, the rejuvenation that Jesus brings into the world. And I think that Jesus comes with a different agenda, not one of anger and rejection, but of reconciliation and acceptance. So this unclean part really, really bothers me because I don't think it's part of Jesus' agenda, even though we take that prophecy and say, this is about Jesus. This is about the hope that Jesus brings. Jesus' different agenda is in the Bible too, in the Gospels. How about God will come with a vengeance with terrible recompense, but Jesus in Matthew 11 says, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, the poor have good news brought to them. That sounds a lot like some of the stuff that's going on here outside of the unclean part. John 14, peace I leave you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not let them be afraid. It's not war. It's not sending people out. It's acceptance. It's peace. Don't let your hearts be troubled. How about the unclean shall not travel on it? Jesus says in Mark 7, then do you also fail to understand? Do you not see that whatever goes into a person from outside cannot defile, since it enters not the heart, but the stomach, and it goes out into the sewer? Thus he declared all foods clean. There's nothing unclean that you can touch, do anything. It doesn't work that way. In Luke 11, while Jesus was speaking, a Pharisee invited him to dine with him, so he went in and took his place at the table. And the Pharisee was amazed to see that he did not first wash before dinner. Then the Lord said to him, now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You fools! Did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? So give alms for those things that are within, and see, everything will be clean for you. Jesus described this clean not as this ritualistic thing where you have to wash, where you have to say the right things, where you have to stay away from people for a certain amount of time. He says that unclean, that's coming from inside you. It's your greed. It's your motivation. So Jesus challenged the whole idea of what was clean and unclean. It's as if he did say that our own greedy, selfish ugliness is what's really unclean. And I think that kind of upside-down logic that Jesus has, and try to understand the verse that bothers me, maybe it's when you get on the road, the holy way, there's no possibility of all the nastiness. It will be gone from you. You will be clean. You know, rejection of others. Well, others look forward in hope. Still gives me this sick feeling in my stomach. But restoration from within while you're heading down God's road, I like that. When you get on the road, there's no possibility of all the nastiness. It will be gone from you. You will be clean. So how, in this Advent season, can we figure, how can a verse like that, the unclean will not walk on it or will not be allowed. And then the upside down logic of Jesus and saying that restoration from within as we're on God's road is a good thing. How can that help us in Advent as we're getting ready? And I think that we can expect God's refreshment. It's in here. And then we can share it with a neighbor. We can anticipate God's strength and God's healing, and we can offer comfort and compassion to those who are suffering. We can trust that God is acting, working, moving, and speaking. And we can listen for what God is calling us to do, to live our lives for God's justice. We can get off the road of selfishness. We can get off the road of anger. We can get off the road of greed. And we can get onto God's road. And we can trust that there's no falling off, no getting kicked off. There's no way to be any way apart from the holy way. Let's pray. God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you for your cleansing power. Help us, not only during this season, but always, to be motivated not by greed, selfishness, but by a desire to serve you. Help us to share that desire, that love, with all we meet. In Jesus' name, amen.